If you've just joined us, you might be noticing, if you've come along before here, that things are different tonight. We've got a combined service. We've got people from our morning congregation and our evening congregation together. My name's Dan. I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity Chapel. It might be your first time here tonight. And if that's the case, we're really glad that you're here. We're excited that you're a part of us tonight as well. Tonight, we're planning to look back and see some of the things that God has been doing among us over this past year, and to look forward and to see some of the things that we're looking forward to and pray for people as they head off over the summer holidays as well. But before we do that, I'd love to give you a moment just to introduce yourself to perhaps someone that you haven't met before. We're sitting with a whole range of different people, different ages, different backgrounds. Why don't you turn around, say hello to someone that you haven't met, maybe even get up and walk around, and then I'll call us back together in a moment. All right, I'm going to call us back together again. I do hope that tonight you'll stick around after our gathered time to gather and enjoy some supper and get to know people a little more deeply. One of the things that we were reminded of in Hebrews chapter 12 is that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The people that the writer of Hebrews is referring to there are the people he's been talking about in the chapter before. And they're people that we know from the Old Testament, but they're marked out by people who had confidence in God's promises, which led them to particular kinds of often very daring action. We're invited to kind of look back and be inspired by their example as we seek to persevere in following Jesus ourselves. And so one of the things that we wanted to do tonight was also to kind of look back over the past year in our church and to spend some time hearing from people who have been responding to God's promises in their own life and who are responding with different kinds of action. Now, so I'm going to invite a few different people to come up, sit up on these couches here with me. We've got Lily and Sarah and Sue He and Luke are all going to kind of come up here. And we're going to hear from them, kind of one after the other. Lily and Sarah are going to come up and share with us first. We've also got a short video that we're going to hear as well. But all of you come up at once. Sorry, I didn't make that very clear. All of you come up. Relax up the front here. Except for Lily and Sarah, don't get too relaxed. It is very much like a talk show.
Sarah, I think we've known each other. I'm Lily, by the way. This is Sarah. She's going to tell you a bit more about herself in a sec. I think I've known you for 3 years.
Yep.
So I've been at college for 3 years and TCM, and so have you. Is that right?
Yep, we're here at the same time.
Yeah. So do you want to tell us your full name?
Like middle names too?
Everything.
Oh, wow. Okay. So my name is Sarah Swati Ostisha Elizabeth Sarangalo.
I love that. I just think it's really cool.
Yeah, but I just go by Sarah.
Yes, you do. Sarah likes to make it easy for other people. Thanks, Sam. Can you tell us about one of those names, one of your given names, why you were called it?
So my second middle name, Ostisha, was given to me by one of my uncles. And it's a combination of two words, Australia and Indonesia, because I'm half Indonesian and half Australian.
Very cool. And Sarah, what are you studying and what year are you?
I'm in my third year, just finished my third year of a law and arts degree.
Yeah. And what's your favourite thing to do when you finish exam, which you have?
I would say catch up with friends. It's really great to just relax all together, de-stress.
Excellent. And can you tell us a little bit about how you've been serving at Trinity Chapel and at college in the last year?
So this past year I have been a chaplaincy residential advisor, which basically means I'm one of the senior students at the college, and I help help the incoming residents get settled in. As a chaplaincy RA, I have a particular role in helping fostering the Christian community at college. So that's meant that I've helped to lead GCs and put on certain events which help to get residents thinking about Christianity and the gospel and what they believe in general.
Awesome. And so you mentioned gospel community group, and I think you led a GC for the first time this year?
I did, yep.
How did you find that, and what was God teaching you in that?
I actually found it pretty terrifying, because I hadn't done anything like that before.
She doesn't look terrified, though, right?
I'm actually very terrified. If you see my knees, they're like... thankfully, I had some great co-leaders, so Lachlan and Dan helped to lead with me. It was really encouraging experience. I definitely learned a lot about how to engage people with the Bible and how to get conversations going, how not to do that, and yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And Sarah pushed back when I suggested I ask her this question. I said, you're a really good friend.
Yeah.
She just felt a bit uncomfortable about saying something positive about herself, maybe. But I have noticed that Sarah's a great friend at college. Part of what she does is just getting alongside other people. How have you seen God at work among your friends and the people you befriend at college?
I've seen God do amazing things with my friends. He has encouraged them to get to know Christ, encouraged them to continue getting to know Christ, and encouraged them to like come to church or go to GC or talk to their friends about Christ as well.
And I didn't tell you about this, but don't worry, it's okay.
Okay.
Sarah's going to continue on as a chaplaincy RA next year, which is really great for all of us. What are you looking forward to about that?
I'm so excited. So next year we actually have 5 chaplaincy RAs, where this year we had 4. So I'm really excited to be able to share the gospel even better and to more residents at college to cater for all different ethnic and cultural backgrounds and to grow closer to Christ for myself as well.
Thanks so much, Sarah.
Oh, come on, you can sit on the couch. One of the things that God has promised us is that he will work through his word. And so what we've just heard is a story of kind of daring action in response to that promise. Leading a GC for the first time is daring action in response to confidence in God's promises that he'll speak through his word. We're now going to hear from Sue He. Do you want to come and stand up the front here with us, Sue He? So he's going to share with us a story that comes from a fair while ago. This is from 1997, wasn't it? How many people here weren't born in 1997?
Most.
Well, actually, there's a few who aren't willing to admit it. But this is a story also of God's faithfulness and kindness to you, even in some very hard things, wasn't it?
Yes.
So I'm going to let you share that. Yeah.
Thanks, Dan. In July 1997, after work, Henry and I went to give Mum the purchase she requested. When the car stopped, I raised my hands upwards to Mum, who was on the porch, which was about half a meter higher than the driveway. The wall of the house was only a meter away. Suddenly, the car moved backwards. The open car door dragged me backwards, and I was squashed between the car and the wall. Thanks be to God for guiding Henry to immediately steer the car off the driveway just before I fell across it. Otherwise, the car would have run over me. The car careered downwards, brought down the sandstone wall, and miraculously stopped just in front of the path which people used to go to and from the station. God was merciful to them and to Henry and me. I must have lost consciousness, for suddenly I saw 2 men with a stretcher bending down towards me. I knew many bones were broken. However, the first thought that came to mind was witness, opportunity to witness for God. I remember praying, thank you, Lord, for your love and for everybody's love. Then I was placed on the stretcher, put into the ambulance. Henry got into the ambulance too. The car was written off. As it was 5 p.m. tea time, Royal Northshore Hospital, Hornsby and Monaville Hospitals were not admitting patients, except for Ryde Hospital, which had a later tea time. Only when the hospital doors closed at midnight, since it was obvious both clavicles had broken, I was given an X-ray. No X-rays were taken on other parts of the body, although I had broken ribs. We were told to come back tomorrow and discharge. And we took a taxi home. When home, we received several phone calls from brothers and sisters from the church. They were all concerned. Many advised us to lodge a third-party insurance claim. I agreed. But Henry said to me, "Don't be greedy." I told Henry we had a house mortgage and there would be expected medical bills to pay. Then Henry said the magic words, "Trust in God." I agreed and we didn't lodge a claim. Henry carried me to bed. The next morning, we went to the Seventh-day Adventist Hospital in Warunga. When the admission doctor found that I had been to Wright Hospital after the accident, he said, "You go back there." Thank God for looking after our financial situation, for the Adventist Hospital charges a $500 out-of-pocket fee for each night stay. So we went back to Wright Hospital. The doctor put both my arms in a sling and he said, "Don't move them. Come back in 3 weeks' time." When we went back, I was referred to the physiotherapy department because my hands had frozen. But I did not receive any treatment. Eventually, we went to the local physiotherapist and also paid a daily visit to the local doctor to drain blood of both thighs due to unknown injuries. Again, God looked after a financial situation. Both the doctor and the physiotherapist did not charge any out-of-pocket fee. The chairman of the board of elders of the church visited me at home. He said that the brothers and sisters would like to bring meals and any other assistance that I needed. I told them all I needed was prayers. Henry and my loving neighbors looked after me. My sister visited every day to find out if I needed anything. To get better, Henry bought a skipping rope. He put the skipping rope or draped it over the kitchen doorknob, carried me, sat me on the floor, put the ends of the ropes into my hands, and I had to pull. As soon as the hands came apart, we ordered truckloads of soil, bark, and plants. All the digging and planting strengthened my hands. However, both the nerves in both hands were badly injured. I could not even hold anything lightweight in my hand, for the hand flew all over the place. When I managed to hold something, I had problem even using a pen to write, because as soon as a pen touched the paper, the hand flew all over the place. But eventually, I managed to cope. I left work after the accident. Praise and thanks be to God, I led a normal life for over 22 years. I know I need to do things for myself, otherwise I will become dependent on others. Thankfully, people gave me space to cope. I do know how to ask for help when required. There are a lot of things I thank God for. In Proverbs 16:20, blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. It is great to have a God in whom we can trust. I praise God and thank God too for making Henry realize that the brake had failed and making him immediately steer the car off the driveway. Otherwise, it would have run over me where I fell. People using the footpath to go to and from the station were safe. I have my legs and arms and have been able to lead a normal life. God looked after us financially. For all medical costs were health funded. I did not suffer any distress or pain. Even when I had my ribs, my clavicles, and I don't know what other internal injuries which caused the bleeding. Henry's broken ribs healed, although he often had to carry me from place to place. I should have been dead if the car had not gone off the driveway. If my journey had ended, I would be in a better place with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I used to take things for granted. Now I am acutely aware of God's abundant blessings each day. Hebrews 1:1-3 and chapter 7:23-25 tells us Jesus wants to be a personal Savior. He wants a relationship with each of us. He is my Jesus, my best friend. Raise your hand if he is your Jesus and your best friend. Thank you for the opportunity to share, and thank you, Dan.
Sometimes confidence in God's promises just looks like continuing to trust that he is good in the face of real pain and real suffering, as Sue here shared with us. Our church also has the privilege of partnering with Link missionaries who serve God in other parts of the world. And this year we've been able to forge a relationship with Dan and Olivia Webster and their four boys who currently live in Namibia. And we've got a video that we're just going to show in a moment. We're going to show the one from Kay first, yeah. One of the ladies who's a part of our church regularly remembers the birthdays of these four boys who live in Namibia and sends them birthday money. And we were blessed, David and Sue, to make a little video of her saying hello to them so that when David and Sue went over to visit them, they could show them this video, and then they responded. I'd like to show you that video. These are people who don't know each other than the fact that they're united by being Link missionaries. I think the first time that Kay had ever met the Websters was at their commissioning service. And I think that's the only time they've ever been in the same place. But there's a real confidence here. There's confidence in by the Websters in God's promise to send his gospel out throughout the whole world. And so they've gone to live in Namibia. And there's confidence in Kay that God will be with them and that her prayers will be answered as she cares for them from here. Kay's here tonight. Go and introduce yourself to her. Get to know her a little bit as well. She's got some great stories. I'm going to invite Luke up, and I'm going to interview him. Now, Luke, you've been part of Trinity Chapel for how long now?
I first arrived at Trinity Chapel 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Previously, I was in Brisbane at a wonderful university church up there. I moved down to Sydney and got engaged to my lovely now wife, Natasha. And yeah, I've been at TCM ever since moving to Sydney at the beginning of 2017.
Yeah, cool. What's something that God has been teaching you in this past year?
This year?
Mm-hmm.
This year, God's been teaching me about the importance of church, actually. I've been thinking through his word and in fellowship with many of you about how God chooses to use his church for his purposes. I've got a verse which I'd like to share you. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says that his intent was now, through the church, the manifest wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's this wonderful reminder that these cosmic realities that God, who created the world and is wanting to bring a people to himself, has made the choice to include us, his church, in that glorious eternal purpose.
Yeah. Cool. Now, you've been a part of a GC, a gospel community that meets over at the Macquarie Uni Village. Can you tell us what that's been like serving in that way this year? What has been some tough things and what have been some good things?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the beginning of last year, a group of us decided that we would start a gospel community group in the village, which has been... It's been a really wonderful blessing and a time of trial and patience for many of us. When we started, there was Ray was there and Sam and Kat, Matt and Leon, a few others, my wife. And we were going with the intention of sharing the gospel with the people of the village because, as many of you will know, there's not a church presence, a Bible study that regularly meets there. And it's been part of our church's vision for a long time to make that happen. So we started doing that. Over this year particularly, we've been following the continuation of the story of Luke's gospel in Acts, the book of Acts, which tells us about how the church kind of exploded out of Jerusalem by the powerful working of God's Spirit. So, there have been some really amazing times of growth. There's been some excellent discussion. Some wonderful times of different members of the group leading the gospel community. We've been sharing it around a little bit, and it's been awesome seeing brothers and sisters growing in their knowledge of God's word. Some of the challenges have been, it's been patient work. We prayed and we wanted people to come along, and for a long time we didn't see any new members. But this year, praise God, we saw Monique, we saw Mel, we saw Suzanne, we saw Michelle coming along regularly, fervently, really keen to learn about God and his word. And that's been a huge encouragement and joy to us who have been there for a couple of years, praying for people to share God's word with, to rejoice in that with, and he's faithfully answered that prayer. So that's been, a trial that has, resulted in the most wonderful joy of sharing his word together with his people.
And can you tell us something that you're maybe looking forward to over the summer holidays, and what are you looking forward to next year?
Yeah, absolutely. Something I'm looking forward to over summer holidays, my family are doing a huge Christmas gathering with my extended family. We did it for the first time with like cousins and uncles and second cousins, and it's enormous, and there was a huge water fight and it was awesome. And we're going to do that again. So I'm really, really excited to catch up with family and really spend time together doing that. Something I'm looking forward to next year is... tomorrow dependent, I've got an interview, but I'm hoping to do MTS, which is a ministry training strategy apprenticeship here at Trinity Chapel, which is a wonderful opportunity for me to serve you, to grow in my knowledge, and to learn more about our Saviour Jesus. And there are lots of ways that's going to happen, but that's all dependent on tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes.
That's a bit awkward, isn't it? Next week we have to get up and say sorry about that.
Yeah, no.
We're really excited to have you as a part of Church, and I'm looking forward to how you will serve us next year. Yeah, grab a seat. I'm going to pray for all of these guys and pray for us as a community.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I forgot to say something. Sorry. I forgot to tell you that I attended church within 6 weeks of the accident when someone in the congregation saw me. She gasped and all heads turned. I was invited up to the pulpit and I quoted 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances.
Thank you, Sue. Yeah. Let's pray remembering those words from the Bible together as well. Father, we thank you for these brothers and sisters that we've had up the front here. We thank you for Sarah and for Suhi. Thank you for Kay, for Dan and Olivia and the boys. Thank you for Luke. Thank you that this year they've been part of the work that you've done in the world and have now become part of that great cloud of witnesses who witness to us of your faithfulness to your promises and the confidence we can have in you. Father, thank you for the things that you have been doing here among us. We also want to recognise before you that we have failed in many ways as well. That there are people who are not here because we haven't loved them the way that we should have. There are people here who are hurt. And Father, we want to bring before you those things. And we ask for your forgiveness where we failed. And we pray for your comfort and for your love for those whom we have failed. But Father, we do thank you that, as Luke reminded us, it's through the church that you desire to make your manifold wisdom known. We thank you that in our forgiveness, in our straining, in our joys, in our good times, you are at work for all the world to see what it looks like when you take hold of human lives and reorient them towards what we're made for. Father, would you please do that more and more? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.